This is episode 388 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. How are you today? This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. As you know, we're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read, and we try to average about 10 minutes a show. Today we're reading 1 Kings chapters 16 and 17, and we'll read from the World English Bible, or Webb Bible. Let's begin. 1 Kings chapter 16. Yahweh's word came to Jehu the son of Hanani against Baasha, saying, "Because I exalted you out of the dust, and made you prince over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will utterly sweep away Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dogs will eat Baasha's descendants who die in the city, and he who dies of his in the field, the birds of the sky will eat." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did, and his might, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah his son reigned in his place. Moreover, Yahweh's word came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and against his house, both because of all the evil that he did in Yahweh's sight, to provoke him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he struck him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, began to reign over Israel in Tirzah for 2 years. His servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariots, conspired against him. Now he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household in Tirzah, and Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. When he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, he attacked all the house of Baasha. He didn't leave him a single one who urinates on a wall among his relatives or his friends. Thus, Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, and with which they made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah, and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. The people who were encamped heard that Zimri had conspired and had also killed the king. Therefore, all Israel made Omri, the captain of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the fortified part of the king's house, and burned the king's house over him with fire, and died, for his sins which he sinned in doing that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri, and his treason that he committed, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni the son of Ginath to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed against the people who followed Tibni the son of Ginath, so Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri began to reign over Israel for 12 years. He reigned 6 years in Tirzah. He bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built, Samaria, after the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill. Omri did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, and dealt wickedly above all who were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sins with which he made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri began to reign over Israel. Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab the son of Omri did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight above all that were before him. As if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took as wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Ahab made the Asherah, and Ahab did more yet to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid its foundation with the loss of Abiram his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his second son, Segub, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke by Joshua the son of Nun. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As Yahweh the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Then Yahweh's word came to him, saying, "Go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to Yahweh's word, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. After a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Yahweh's word came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar, that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." She said, "As Yahweh your God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jar. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterward make some for you and for your son. For Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of meal will not run out, and the jar of oil will not fail, until the day that Yahweh sends rain on the earth.'" She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house ate many days. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the jar of oil did not fail, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke by Elijah. After these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, you man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to memory and to kill my son." He said to her, "Give me your son." He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the room where he stayed, and laid him down on his own bed. He cried to Yahweh and said, "Yahweh, my God, have you also brought evil on the widow with whom I'm staying by killing her son?" He stretched himself on the child three times and cried to Yahweh and said, "Yahweh, my God, please let this child's soul come into him again." Yahweh listened to the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the room into the house, and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "Behold, your son lives." The woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that Yahweh's word in your mouth is truth." May God bless the reading of his word. Elijah, as we will come to see, is a significant figure in the Old Testament, and his appearance here in 1 Kings 17 is the first mention of him. We're not given any background, no genealogy, nothing other than the fact that he was a Tishbite who was one of the settlers of Gilead, as it says here in the Webb version, or the NIV says he was from Tishbe. In our chapter here, Elijah goes with a message from the Lord to Ahab, the king of Israel. The message is that because Ahab has not worshipped God, but idols, there will be no dew or rain in Israel. And then God told Elijah to hide by the brook Kirith by the Jordan River, where he was fed by ravens and drank from the brook. And then the brook dried up after some time because of the drought. So God sent him to Zarephath, where he, God, would move on a poor widow woman to give him food and shelter. And this is what I want to talk about for just a minute or two. This woman and her son were at the very end of their rope. When Elijah first saw her, she was out looking for a couple of sticks that she could use to cook her and her son's last meal. There was only a little flour and oil left, and after this, they were going to starve to death. The drought had been hard on the land, and she evidently had no more options left to provide for herself and her son. But God chose her to provide for Elijah until such time as he would end the drought. And isn't that just like God? He often chooses people who do not, by all appearances, have the ability to do the work God calls them to do. After all, he used an old couple who were well into their 90s to be the parents of a great nation. He called a man with a speech impediment to lead that nation out of slavery, and he called a shepherd boy to be their king. He called uneducated fishermen, a tax collector, and a few other men to care for and grow the infant church. And he chose a windshield repair guy in Riverside, California to start the world's first Christian podcast. When God calls you to do something for him, he supplies what is needed to accomplish that work. When he called this poor widow to feed Elijah, the food never ran out. And to prove that it was God who supplied their need, when her son died from an illness, God restored life to the boy when Elijah prayed for him. Do you think that you have nothing that God can use for his kingdom? Well, good. That's exactly the building blocks that he needs. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 388.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. Have you subscribed to the show in your favorite podcast app? When you do that, you'll get every episode automatically delivered to you. Tomorrow, we'll be back in the book of Revelation. And until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.